Beatrice, you don't need all those clothes. I'm going to pay for that one. I just couldn't help it. Okay. So anyway, so we'll keep that in mind, all right? And that's going to be praying for that. We're going to lay hands on you and pray for you before you go. That's going to be next weekend, okay? And we'll be doing that. Also, with that, the prayer clock. I want to keep, we haven't said anything about that for a little bit. It's hanging over, if you've got the doors, hangs over there on the right. Sign up for a time of prayer. You're choosing, right? And you're going to devote yourself to praying during that time period. You can do it every day. Or you can do it, you can, if you just, whatever it would be, you know, twice a week, once a week, but we appreciate you doing it. This is how we go forward as a church, is through prayer and faith, okay? This is how we go forward. And so we need to get involved. So keep that in mind. And then also the food pantry, we got baskets out there, you know, just get in the habit of bringing. Canned goods, you know, bring some canned goods, dry goods, whatever it would be. And we want to remind you of that. You got something?
Yes. Next Saturday is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and that is when we decorate the church for Christmas. And we need some men to, during the week, if usually that's how it happens, come and drag all the trees out for us and help set them up so that the ladies can all get in there and decorate. So if we will start about 8 o'clock next Saturday morning, and it doesn't take long after the trees are up, it doesn't take long. So please, you're invited to come and help us decorate. We've almost got it down to the science. We know what tubs we're putting where, and so it works out really good. So next Saturday, 8 o'clock in the morning, we will decorate the church for Christmas.
Yeah. All right. My goodness, it's upon us, isn't it? Right? It's upon us. Praise the name of the Lord. And again, if you think at the last minute of somebody to invite to the dinner tonight, you go ahead and invite them and bring them, okay? You know, but go ahead and bring them. They're more than welcome. Well, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I apologize from last week. You know, I had all those ones in front of me, and that's all I saw. You know, on my paper right here, my notes, and so I had you to turn, I think, to Beatrice told me when I got home, right, that I said turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, it right here I'm being reminded of it again. So anyway, so so I apologize for that. And so let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to begin with verse 1. We're talking about the intercessor, and this message is the intercessor's playbook. And this is the third message. I will have a fourth message that on this, even this particular subject right here, and it's called the visionary way. The visionary way. You know, and I'm going to say this, that this is the bread and butter of the intercessor. The visionary way is the bread and the butter of the intercessor. Intercession is not just simply you're praying longer than normal. That's not intercession whatsoever. You know, and not only that, but it's not in your own strength. It's not in your own power. There's an equipping that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that we ever endeavor in that way. We forever endeavor in that way. You know, no matter what we are experiencing in the Holy Spirit, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit wants you to experience more. He wants you to experience more. And I want you to hear that. And one of the places that we can experience the Holy Spirit in a wonderful way is in this work of intercession. Now, what is intercession? In being different, I'm not explaining everything about prayer, you know, but we understand that, you know, fellowship and relationship with the Lord is how we walk with God. You know, you don't just simply get born again, but we walk in a fellowship and a relationship with the Lord. And it's the Holy Spirit of the living God that leads you into the intimacy of that fellowship. And I'm telling you right now what the Holy Spirit has planned for you in an intimate way in experiencing God and experiencing the Lord is far beyond what you've ever dreamed or even what you even may now be experiencing in the Lord. You may be very much a Holy Spirit person, and praise God for that. But I want you to know it's not this regimental thing. So many, it grieves the Lord. It grieves my heart to see, okay, you got saved, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have the gift of tongues come in your life. And that kind of, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've got, there we are. You know, now it's to experience those things. It's to experience those things in our life and to experience them in their fullness. Now, let me tell you a little something. I don't want to get off on speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues. I pray in the Spirit. I sing in the Spirit. I love to sing and worship in the Spirit. You know, I just praise God for that wonderful blessing in my life. But it's just not a matter that you've done it. You know, did you know you can let it die in your life? Huh? Did you know that? You know, because there's so much that is activated at will. I won't go into that a lot. That's not my message right here. You know, you activate by will. You activate, especially the gift of tongues, because the gift of tongues is not just, it's not like the gift of prophecy. It's not like, gift of healing. You know, there's the moving of the Holy Spirit in those gifts, and we follow them. But when it comes to, you know, personal edification, they got tongues, you got interpretation of tongues, and then you've got for your prayer life, right? For your prayer life. And that's why it's activated at will. It's activated at will. It's received in that way. It's received by faith, and then it's acted on by faith in the heart and by the mouth. All right, now, so, you know, we have to keep going forward in the things of the Spirit. We have to keep going forward in the things of the Spirit. And I want to show you one of the wonderful things of the Spirit of God, you know, this visionary way that comes to the intercessor. Who is the intercessor? You. You're the intercessor, you know, and the intercessor is the one that stands in the gap. The intercessor is the one that enters into the warfare, spiritual warfare. You know, there's spiritual warfare in your life. There's spiritual warfare in your life. You're under spiritual attack. You are under spiritual attack, and the powers of darkness are assigned against you. That's nothing to be afraid of. That's nothing to be afraid of at all. You know, you can be very bold and have no fear in any form or any fashion, but draw near to God. Draw near to God. Walk after the will of God. Walk after the Spirit of God. Stop that flesh stuff. Stop that flesh stuff. You're playing around enemy territory. You're playing around enemy territory. Get out of the flesh. Get out of the flesh. Get out of sin. Get out of the flesh and get out of sin. And the Lord will bring you into the way of the Spirit and the walk of the Spirit. And you will have unimaginable victories that will flow your way. Well, this is one of those ways. I'm going to read this. We all know this very well, but it's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I know most of you could probably quote that very much, but I want to kind of break it down a little bit, just a little. We use the word conviction that comes right here, and then also conviction of things. Now, look at this, of things not seen. Now, faith is the assurance of things that are not seen. Well, with that, I think the NIV says being sure, being sure. And then look at the foundation of this, of things hoped for. You know, the way that faith comes is it doesn't come with the assurance first. It comes for things hoped for. And now I want you to see very carefully the witness of God is the assurance of things hoped for. Look at that real good. I want you to see it because I want you to see that when it comes to the assurance, now you're the only one that can make the choice, okay, of choosing to believe upon those things that you hope for. And what we hope for the most is the things that have promised us and have been declared in the Word of God. Not just simply things that have been promised us. It's not just about us. But us being the vessels and being the instruments, being the warrior in the faith, fully following the assignment. Yes, that's right. You got an assignment from Almighty God. right? And it's putting yourself in the hands of the Lord to be the instrument and be the vessel of God. When you put yourself in that place, I'm going to tell you, a lot of your concerns and a lot of your prayers are going to be answered because you've gotten your prayer life off of you and you've gotten your prayer life on Him. Now, this is very important. God puts up with that. That's my word. But God puts up with that for a while, especially when you're a young believer. You know, and you know, babies, we don't expect babies to be anything but babies, right? And babies sometimes fall on the floor and they have little fits, don't they? Right? But when they get older, we expect different, right? No, we're not going to do that no more, right? You're beyond that. God does us the exact same way. So you'll get your prayers answered. You know, you'll get your prayers answered, and you'll have all that flesh hanging on you and all that other stuff and that type of thing. But it gets to a place all that starts drying up. And then you start wondering in your heart, why didn't God answer my prayers? Why didn't God hear my prayers? Well, He's hearing your prayers, but He's also training you. He's training you because He's not going to let everything be about you, right? You know, He wants to use you. You are His vessel in the earth, and you can walk in great power in your life. And this is one of the places here in the work of intercession. Lord, I'm not here to talk about my stuff. It's all right if you do, but Lord, I'm not here just to talk about my stuff. And here I'm to do business with you. Lord, what would you have to say to me? Lord, what would you have me to do, oh Lord God? Well, Lord, what do you want me to pray about? My goodness, you just opened a wide old door that you can't even begin to imagine. And then the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes. This is the work of intercession. So it starts with you, and it starts with me, and it starts with those things hoped for. Now, I won't turn there, but if you'll go, don't turn. But in Romans chapter 8, it talks about we don't hope for what we see, we hope for what we do not see, right? We don't hope for what we have, we hope for what we don't have. The unseen, but yet promised by Almighty God, yet promised by Almighty God. So what we're doing when you activate faith, you're reaching forward into the realm of the unseen, and you're believing for the work of maybe even the impossible, the promise of God, the coming down of strongholds that otherwise would never come down until you begin to walk in the assignment that God has given you, and you begin to be that intercessor that God's called you to be. I'm talking about strongholds even in your own life. I'm talking about strongholds in your own life, talking about strongholds in family members, things that you grieve about in your life that you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it, but I'm going to tell you, there's one that can. There's one that can, and He's a miracle-working God. He is a miracle-working God, and we as a church need to get back. We need to get back to believing God for miracles, right? We need to get back to believing God for miracles. You know, when we begin to believe God and we begin to call on the Lord, and then what happens is our mind opens up. Our spirit man begins to open up. And then let me tell you what happens. What happens is that which seems foreign becomes normalized. Are you with me? What seems foreign, like miracles, right? And if you don't ever call on the Lord and you don't believe God for miracles and you don't let those words come out of your mouth, then they're foreign to you. They're beyond your ability to be able to really believe God in that realm because you've not been used to believing God in that realm. What we need to do is then we begin to normalize these things. We begin to normalize these things. And the Holy Spirit begins to expand our understanding and it becomes normalized. Then the next thing that happens to us is that we begin to have an expectation of the miracle working hand of God. Now, right here, so hoped for, so we begin to hope for that which has been spoken. We begin not only for promises, but also for the covenant way and the covenant victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand on the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and we begin to make proclamations. These are faith proclamations that we begin to make. We make them about ourselves. We make them about ourselves. We make them about those that are around us. We make them in the unseen things that we know that God wants to bring souls into the kingdom of God, that we see as we look out about around us that what is happening and what is going on is certainly not the will of God. Every man walking after his own way, walking after his own business, pretending or just blinded, really, to the fact that eternity's coming. Eternity is coming. You know, there, Billy Sunday, I don't know if you remember that old name, you know, but there's payday someday, right? That was a famous sermon that he preached, that there's payday someday, you know. And so people become oblivious. If you were to say to them, oh, now listen, do you know that life is going to end? You're going to die in this life one day and you cannot escape the grave. Yeah, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not going to escape the grave, all right? You know, but you know what people do is they deceive themselves. The demons are involved as well. And, you know, and they deceive themselves by thinking, oh, yeah, but that's so far off. That's just so far off. Maybe, may not, right? But it is coming, you know, and where are you going? And don't give Jesus, you know, just your crumbs. Don't have a flippant attitude toward salvation and toward the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's not salvation at all. You can find a church that will preach the gospel that you want. All you got to do is go out there, you just search a little bit. I like that easy believism. I just like that stuff, you know, that I'm getting saved and live for myself. I just like that stuff. And that appeals to me. You know, I don't have to walk with the Lord. I don't have to give up anything. You know, I don't have to be devoted. You know, I can do my thing. You want that gospel? It's right out there for you. There's another place in Scripture, in Timothy, 1 Timothy, it's called Doctrines of Demons. Right? No, Pastor, you're being divisive. You know, we need to be ecumenical, right? Don't be deceived by that stuff. There's a false unity. We unify around the truth. We unify around the word of the Lord. Are you following me? If we come to the word of the Lord, we got unity. We do, right? We don't give up the truth for unity's sake, because that's not unity. It's not unity, right? We need to understand that. Because the devil will come at us and he'll come at you in any way that he possibly can, right, to disarm the saints and to hinder them. So we understand this. Now, the next thing that I want you to see out of this is I want you to see the intervention of the Holy Spirit. You know, why, Pastor, how can you say the intervention of the Holy Spirit? Because when we choose to walk in those things that are by the Spirit, then we find the equipping power of the Holy Spirit. And there's no greater spiritual exercise than having faith before God. Faith is not a positive attitude, right? It's more than being positive. There's a positive element to it, but it's not positive thinking. You know, it's faith. You believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. That's the twofold action of faith and the exercise of faith. When you believe with your heart, you're giving yourself to be found in that promise. I will become obedient to God. I surrender to that word of truth dwelling in me. I surrender to that word of truth dwelling in me. That's what it means to give your heart. And then you confess with your mouth, right? And then there's an intervention by the hand and the power of Almighty God. And the hut comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. How is it manifested in the one that chooses the way of faith? Assurance. How neat. How neat. Assurance. You know, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, all I see is the natural, and I'm ruled by my five senses, right? You know, they seem to try to overwhelm me all the time. No, I'm going to believe God. That's what I'm going to do. And that's real intimidating. I understand that. But when you choose that and you walk after it, then something begins to happen to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the more you walk after it, the more sure it becomes. Assurance begins to come on what you have chosen that you will believe. Assurance. Now, let me give you that word right there, the Greek word, and the reason I give these words is so that we can break them down for definition, is hypostasis. Hypostasis. And this is what it means to be steadfast. It means confidence. Steadfaster. So this is what comes. So the Holy Spirit begins to come, right? He begins to come, and he begins to bring this power of God. I love this. You know, the root word is hypos, and it is H-U-P-O. Listen to the definition of hypostasis, hypos. It means under or about the hand of power. Isn't that good? Woo! My goodness, don't you love that? That's the root word for assurance right here, is under or about the hand of power. That's the power of God, isn't it? Now, what does the Lord begin to do? Well, let's go back to another word right here. And that is that the word right here, things hoped for. Now, when we begin to choose the way of faith and we believe God, and we believe upon the promise of God, we believe in the power of God and the word of the Lord, you know, then we believe upon those things hoped for. And then it goes on, it says, the conviction of things, what? Not seen. They haven't been manifested. That phrase, things hoped for, is the Greek word elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O. You've heard me talk about it before. It means expectation or anticipation. All right, now listen to me. So do you understand that when I begin to turn and say, Lord, I'm going to hope in you, I'm going to hope in the promise of God, and you begin to stand upon it, then the Holy Spirit begins to bring his power of assurance into your heart, and he begins to strengthen expectation. Expectation then begins to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you grow in expectation in the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, the more that you practice, and we find it, you know, in 1 John talks about practicing righteousness. The more you practice expectation upon the promises of God in heart and mind, and also confession, then the stronger the Spirit of God begins to bring expectation. And what he does is it deepens, it widens, it gets fuller, it becomes richer. It's just not a matter of you now are expecting and it just remains the same in your hands. No, you set the pace, you step out in it, and then the Holy Spirit comes and shores it up with power. If you will not step out in it, the Holy Spirit cannot come and shore it up with power. Now, this is a law of the Spirit when it comes to anything that God has promised you in the Word. You have to choose it. You have to act upon it. You choose it. You act upon it. When you choose it, you act upon it. Then that's when you open the door for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. Now, this is very important spiritual principle for us to understand how the Holy Spirit moves and how he works. All right, so he comes in with this strengthening, the practice of expectation, and then there's something else as it grows. He begins to give vision. Now, when I say vision, I'm not talking about an Ezekiel vision, although that could be part of it. But the Spirit of the Lord begins to allow you to see in the realm of the unseen. It might come as strong convictions. Or it said that, didn't it? That faith with the conviction of those things not seen. Let me just give you a little list of things that have to do with conviction. Being convinced, enlightenment of the heart given by the Spirit. You know, spiritual understanding, all right? Strong conviction. You know, you got no reason to feel that way. But oh boy, do I feel that way. And I can't let go of it. You know, that is visionary way of the Holy Spirit, all right? Spirit urges that come deep within. It can be visions. You know, look at what happened, for example, when the Gentiles were brought into the kingdom of God. Look at the intervention of the Holy Spirit. First, there's Cornelius, right? And then what happened to Cornelius? You know, he had a vision of an angel, right? Now, I want you to see how much that the Holy Spirit plays a part of bringing visionary understanding into you so that you can step into the next realm, or that you can walk after the realm that he wants you to stand in. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we find here that Cornelius, what Cornelius did is that he had a vision. When he had that vision of that angel in that vision told him what to do. And he told him, go get a man called Peter. Well, lo and behold, the next thing that you know that happens is that Peter's waiting for his lunch. Right? Now, you know, I don't think that, you know, that he was sitting there playing checkers. I just don't think that. I think that he was spending time with God. He was waiting for lunch. See, when you begin to give yourself to experience the Lord, and you begin to give yourself to be the vessel and the instrument of prayer, then you start hearing things. You not only start hearing things, you start seeing things, right? You start hearing things, and you start hearing. Could you put yourself in a position to where you can receive? We talk too much. We talk too much instead of hear and listen enough in the Lord. But when we begin to make that transition, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit begins to make himself known. Oh, so here was Peter, and he wasn't about to go. Are you kidding me? He wasn't about to go to Cornelius's house in the realm of the natural, right? He wasn't about to. Are you kidding me? Then he fell into a trance. Right? Then when the men came to get him, I'm ready to go, boys. Right? Let's go. Right? Now, do you see the intervention of the Holy Spirit right there? Do you see how that all of this happened and how none of it would have ever happened or could have happened in the realm of the natural? This is what the Holy Spirit does. Let me just read this to you, so that you can hear this from the word of the Lord. And this is John 14:18. It says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. You know this scripture. And I will give you another helper that is the Spirit of truth. Now, what in the world does that mean? What does that mean for you? A scripture read? Huh? No, there's the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and it's not only to know the truth in a doctrinal way, but it's to possess the way of the truth as well. He causes us to experience those things only he can bring us into, just like he did with Cornelius, just like he did also with Peter. You know, those are the things that are weighing in the balance for you and I. There are victories that are weighing in the balance because of the way of the Spirit and that visionary way that the Holy Spirit begins to let you see the things of the unseen. They become strong in your heart. They become strong in your life. And then you begin to add the faith and expectation, and the spirit of wide door has been opened for you, and you're being led by the Spirit to possess the kingdom of God. That's an amazing thing. How exciting it is to live and walk for the Lord. Here's another place. Another place here is in, verse 14 and also 18 and 16. Here's verse 26. The helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. He'll teach you how to pray. He'll teach you how to wait on God. He'll teach you the way of intercession. He'll teach you this visionary way. He'll cause your faith come alive. He'll cause you to see. He'll cause you to hear. All he needs is your permission, my permission, to wait on the Lord, right? Now, I'm going to get into that a little bit more here as we go along. Now, I'm going to introduce this just a little bit. I got so many more things here. But listen to this. Are we supposed to see? Or is that just for, that weird bunch, the prophets, right? Are we supposed to see you? Are you supposed to see, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. But this is caused by the Spirit that we see in a different way. I'm not talking about with these eyes. Listen to this. Hebrews 2:9. But I think that involves you. But we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. He didn't say believe. He said see. That's what he said. Say, well, also that open door of expectation, the deeper it goes, then the stronger expectation comes. And then when the stronger expectation comes, it causes you to have a bold, adventuresome heart. A bold, adventuresome heart. And you begin to open your heart and mind to experience the Holy Spirit taking you in those ways. You just let him do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. But you have a willing heart. And this is the way you experience God. That word right there, all right, but we do see him who has been made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus. That word, right, that Greek word, blepo, B-L-E-P-O, and then this is what it means. It means to behold, it means to see, to look, or to take heed. We do see him. Oh, well, all right. Now, turn me over here. I want you to see this very strongly. This is now in Hebrews 11 again, and I want you to come over here, and we're going to look at Moses for a minute in verse, if you would, over here in verse, we're going to go in Hebrews 11, verse 24. Now look at this. By faith, they're talking about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, look at this, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You talking about having a gold spoon in your mouth? Goodness gracious. He is Pharaoh's son, daughter, right? Son. You know, and he's got every privilege and everything that he would ever dream to ever have. And what's going on with this man, right? Where does this strength come from? Because he is going to identify with slaves, right? And he does not fear Pharaoh at all. Woo! You talking about strong-spirited here. Where in the world is this coming from? How did he find this? How did he possess this? Well, let's just look and let's just see. Here's verse 24 again. By faith, Moses, notice it started with faith and expectation. When he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here, look at verse 25. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Oh, whoa. This is supernatural. You understand that, don't you? This is supernatural. You know, but this power that Moses found is also the power that's available to you and I. And may I say even more so because we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look on. Well, what happened to him? Here's verse 26. Considering the reproach. Oh, hold on here. Considering the reproach of Christ? Well, where in the world does that come in at? Christ's greater riches than the treasures of Egypt? For he was looking to the reward. Do you see that? He saw something, didn't he? And look what it did to him. That's why Moses became the man that he became. He saw Jesus. I'll tell you right now. What? I mean, this is Old Testament time. The law hadn't even been given yet, right? The law hadn't even been given yet, but he's already seen Jesus. How much do you want to see? How much do you want to hear? Because I think there's a boatload more than we ever dreamed of. There's a boatload. Everybody say, there's a boatload. There's a boatload more than we ever dreamed of. All right. Now, I want you to see that because I'm going to kind of close with this, but I want you to hear this. And I'm giving this just as a little bit of an example right here. I'm going to give you just something for me that I experienced. And, you know, I want to say this up front. That If I talk about anything of myself in relationship to the Spirit, the one thing I want you to know is my heart attitude. And my heart attitude is that I'm a student of the Spirit. Okay? I'm a student of the Spirit. I love studying hard, right? But I'm a student of the Spirit. You know, when you get into the category of what, you know, I know there, been there, done that, your revelation is going to dry up real fast. I mean, it just really is. It's just going to dry up real fast. You want to stay a student of the things of Almighty God and of the Spirit of the Lord. Well, anyway, so we're talking about intercessory prayer. I was spending time before the Lord with this scripture. I had come in from work. I went through my routine, my ritual, get my shower and everything. Beatrice is cooking dinner, glory to God, you know. And then I'm in the bedroom, I lay down on the bed, and I start praying accordingly. So anyway, I was doing intercession that day with this scripture, right? Here it is. I'm just going to read it to you. You know, this is in Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, now listen to this part, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. Yeah. So what was I doing? I was sitting there praying with this scripture. It's a sword, right? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so as I was doing this before the Lord, I was calling forth souls. Uh-oh, I mean, it's getting weird now, right? You know, I was calling forth souls. You know? Well, on what basis, Pastor, would you think that you could do something like that? Okay. You see, everybody got, my teacher used to say in the fifth grade, you got your ears on, right? Got your ears on? Yeah, okay. Let me give you a little example of that. Just listen. This is coming from Romans 5:18. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Did you hear that? Jesus already paid the price. The devil is an illegal trespasser. They do not belong to him. They belong to Jesus. They do not belong to him. They belong to Jesus. Jesus already paid it. That's where the intercessor comes in at. That's where the intercessor comes in. Because the intercessor stands in the gap and begins to proclaim the truth of the word of the Lord in the realm of the Spirit. And in the realm of the Spirit, things begin to have to take place and they begin to have to move. And evil spirits begin to have to let go of the things that they've held because they don't have authority anymore. And somebody has rose up and challenged them. I call you forth from the north in the name of Jesus. I call you forth from the south in the name of Jesus. I call you forth from the east in the name of Jesus. I call you from the west in the name of Jesus. Be loosed from your captivity in the name of Jesus. Come to your Savior in Jesus' name. Now, who can comprehend this in the realm of the natural? It's by the Spirit. This is what I was doing at that point. And that time, done it many times, you know, without any intervention or anything happening. So that's all up to God. But then, let me just share with you what happened to me. I was laying there, my eyes were closed, right? And you don't have to close your eyes to pray, you know, but that's what I was doing that day. I was just laying out, you know, praying this scripture. Then all of a sudden, with my eyes closed, everything got real dark, unnaturally dark. Now, let me give you, I want to give this to you, if I may, and you'll see it unfold. I want to give you the operation of the Holy Spirit in this visionary way in the midst of intercessory prayer. Here it is, if you want to write it down. Okay? This is the operation of the Holy Spirit in this visionary way as you give yourself to be the intercessor of the Lord. Number one, I've already spoken, expectation. Expectation. This is light, vision, understanding. You know, more you practice, the deeper you will go in this, all right? That's number one. And then number two is, which I just spoke, number two is recognition. The operation of the Holy Spirit, number one is expectation. The operation of the Holy Spirit in this, number two is recognition. And then number three is execution. All right? Execution. All right? You have to, what you recognize, you have to act on. Or it goes nowhere. What you recognize, you have to act upon. All right, so let me go back to this. So you understand? So I'm walking in expectation of this, of the power of this word spoken. Both those words right there, Romans, and then also there in Matthew. And then everything starts getting unnaturally dark. Not just like close your eyes dark, but I recognized, right, the darkness. I knew the Holy Spirit was showing me something or going to show me something. You know, and so I gave, what happens to recognize means you give your attention to it. To recognize it is to give your attention to it. If I had blown right on through it, I wouldn't have, the rest of it wouldn't have come. But I gave attention to it. The Holy Spirit will train us in that. All right, now, so here we are. So in this darkness, then, this is what I saw. I saw like a cave, like a cave, but then it had been concreted, and then bars had been set in place, right, in the concrete, and it was a dark cave. Listen to this now. And, you know, remember the old security lights? They weren't even security lights. They would be like a light bulb. You know, on a barn, you know, and I call it the old bell cover, right? This is what I saw. So they all, you know, like on a light bulb, only that light bulb was hanging over those bars right there. And that thing was shining bright. You know how you drive through the country and you'll see that, and you know, it just, I mean, everything's dark and boy, you just see that light on that old barn, right? You know, it's just shining and shining and shining. That's what I saw. Then all of a sudden, out of the darkness, I began to see silhouettes that were, how can I say, that were not quite as dark. Okay? And I immediately knew these were the souls of men. And I couldn't see any faces. There was no, it was a silhouette of darkness, but not as dark. But not as dark as all that blackness that I had seen. And here they were. Here they were. And here's one right here. There was another one here. And there was another one here. And there's another one over here. Guess where they were going? To that light. They were coming out of that blackness. And they were coming in. And they were black, okay, but lighter darkness as they come to that light. And they were kept coming, and they kept coming. And then, you know, one or two or three here would come into light, and then there'd be one or two or three come into the light after them, right? And then there was coming over here, and then some started coming over here, and they all were moving and marching. And then the next thing I saw is I saw those prison bars start to bend. They started bending. You know, so here they are like that. And then they started like, you know, in the middle, kind of like bowing in like this. And not only that, but some of them were getting to a certain point, and then they popped under pressure. And the bars were being broken. And that was the end of it. Do you think I found any encouragement in any of that? This is what the Holy Spirit does for the intercessor. This is what he does. The Holy Spirit lets the intercessor see things, lets the intercessor hear things, you know, and it empowers you. It empowers you. You know, then the things that you gave way to start becoming alive and a reality. Are you with me? It's not just scriptures read on pages. No, they become into your heart, they come into your spirit, and then you start to possess it, and you start to see it as being real. It's real. And it's in the realm of the spirit, because that's where things are changed. That's where things are changed, is in the realm of the spirit. That's where the warfare is at. That's where the challenge is at. That's what our purpose is being the warrior of the Lord. That's what having spiritual warfare is really all about. You know, we become that vessel. We become that army of Almighty God. And there's work to be done in the realm of that. There's work to be done in the realm of that. But this is where the miracle-working power of God is released. Kathy, would you all come?